Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Owen Everard about how to run well into your 30s and beyond.
I mean, shock tactics from us here, Rick, bringing the 30s into the title of this little thing.
As if 30's old.
As if 30's even sometimes consider how you should change your running. Well, guess what, everyone? It is.
Yeah.
But not how you might think. We're not out here dooming and glooming. We're here to bring you just a slice of reality.
Yeah.
And it's all positive.
Yeah, it's not all about decline. It's just about, how to adapt your training to become even quicker as you get even older.
Yeah, it was a lesson for us all, Rick, actually. I learned some good stuff.
How is your aging body holding up under running, Ben?
Do you know what? It's not the running stuff. It's doing it. I'm sat in quite an uncomfortable chair right now and I'm feeling it more than ever in my hips. It's things like that, Rick. I think that's the sort of stuff that does me in. But in a minute, after I've finished doing this, I'm going to get up, I'm going to have a stretch, I'm going to go for a run.
You are running quite a lot in a minute, aren't you, I think?
Yeah, sure. I am doing a bit more. I think I've just sort of been going out and doing more. I'd like to say that it was more structured and I was actually getting faster and with this race coming up and I was feeling more confident about that. But I've kind of just enjoyed going out and doing a bit more sort of a variation in stuff that I hope will see me right in the end, but it's not particularly focused. It's more just sort of like, I don't know, just on this sort of journey back into sort of running towards a race, Rick, it's kind of just been a bit more like, well, I'm not going to try and run my fastest half marathon in 8 weeks, because everything that we've spoken about recently has been like, don't put a weird time limit on time frame on training for stuff. But I'm really enjoying. I did some errands this week and managed to just do a nice little tour of East London, doing some errands. I really enjoy that kind of running. It's different focus, you know, when you're not like, oh, I must go and do this session. And I was just like, I've got to go and deliver some parcels. So I went and did that. And that was very
underrated
satisfying.
The
underrated session. If you're not building any sort of postage into your running sessions, then I don't think you're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's good. I'm going to go for running and maybe I'll do some hills as suggested by our very smart guest this week. So, you know, I'll do that.
Love that.
How's yours going?
Well, it's been a roller coaster, Ben. It's been a roller coaster of a year for me, running wise. I had a really good run on Wednesday night and I was like, it's a bit of a fartlek thing, about an hour in total, and got up to some fairly, what has been for me recently, like decent paces. It was hilly back and I was like, first time since the knee surgery, I was a bit like, I'm not as fit as I once was.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, a little bit like that. I was like, I'm back. Like, I've got no injury. And then 2 days later, just walking around, I felt like I'd broken my toe.
Right.
So I was like, what on earth? Like, I'm honestly doing like 20 miles a week. So I'm like, I don't think I've got a stress fracture on.
Does it still hurt now?
It hurts a little bit. It hurts less now and doesn't hurt. And I can like sleep and stuff. So it's not like, but I was like,
oh my God,
I can't have a broken toe as well.
That's not good.
But anyway,
have you been doing your toga? Have you been doing your stroke, your tank, your toe strength work?
Toe strength work.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Quickly, obviously world champs have just finished. What was your highlight? What was your personal highlight?
Highlight would probably be, Matt Hudson-Smith, Rick, I'm going to say, because the guy has been through a lot and has been lots of setbacks and has spoken openly now about the mental health issues that he's suffered following injury and everything going wrong and losing sponsorship and stuff like that. So to come and get a bronze and to sort of go some way in burying those demons. That was big. I liked seeing that. That was good to see. You?
I think it's got to be Jake Whiteman. I mean, I love seeing Laura Muir get that really gutsy bronze when it was that kind of like, just like literally flat out for 1500 meters. But I think, Jake Whiteman, like very, like, you know, wouldn't have, no one would have called him for a gold.
He was up against like the Olympic champ. The Olympic champ, the defending Europe world champ, and the fastest guy for the year so far. And then he won.
And it was a brilliant, like, I won't pretend to be that well versed in 1500 meters tactics, but I think he ran the perfect tactical race in that he kind of kept in touch and he put himself in a position to win, and then he was just able to execute it. And his, obviously his dad was commentating, and I think that he is looked at as being just one of the one of the nice guys in athletics. He's really put in a shift, possibly not as super talented as some people, but is someone who is very consistent and knows how to turn up for the big races. So that was great. And I really enjoyed actually watching it as ever. I think it's just, it's very inspiring watching that stuff, even if some of it's, you know, completely unattainable. I always love to see running on that level, because I think it's really, really exciting.
Yeah. And a close second, because it was a close second. Yeah. It's worth mentioning Keely Hodgkinson and just watching
her. I thought
she was
unlucky. I think she was just a bit unlucky there.
Me too. She couldn't quite get a level. And there was just enough there to just have that distance. Anyway.
Yeah, some great moments. I'm not sure if there was that gap on the inside or whether that was being slightly like...
No, there was a gap. It ended up being one of those things. Anyway, some great moments. Some good running moments. So yeah, thanks for everyone for running, and we watched it. Thanks.
Yeah. And if you're like Ben and I and getting a little older but still, you know, liking running and having some ambition, our next guest will be a real boon, I think, for body and mind. She's going to tell us how to stay relevant, how to stay quick as we get older.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio, guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Our guest this week is chartered physiotherapist, certified athletic therapist and author, Dr. Owen Everard, and he's going to be advising us all how to run well into our 30s and beyond. So, Dr. Owen, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. In the intro, we talk about the 30s and beyond for running, and I think that when we mention the 30s, most people might think, wait a sec, the 30s, that's still pretty young. Why do I need to even be considering anything beyond just going out for my running and that's all I need to do? But so let's tackle that to begin with. Why the 30s? Why is it important to use that decade as a sort of like starting point?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the main reason is because it's a kind of transitionary period, but we don't even realize, you know, we're used to training hard in our 20s. And I know for myself anyway, from kind of an elite runner's background, that it was just surprising as I got into my late 20s, 30s, that the sessions and the workouts I was able to do earlier in my 20s were now suddenly causing a couple of issues. So I think when you get into your 40s, you kind of recognize you can't run like you're in your 20s. But I think sometimes, you know, like all of us, time just goes by so quickly. I look at like pictures on my wall and it's like, can't believe it's 2016 when that happened, or like I won an All-Ireland like over 10 years ago now, and I still honestly feel the same age. So I feel like sometimes we need to address these things in our 30s, because we can just naturally just stay running and not really think, it's like, okay, do I need to alter things? Do I need to change? The other thing in your 30s compared to your 20s is that a lot of us now have jobs, you could have a family, much more responsibilities, but yet we're still trying to hit the same type of training and maybe with the same intensity. So it's something that you want to address.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always think probably the area that's going to be causing issues as you get older would be the speed work. Is that fair? And if so, how can you kind of temper that as you get a bit more mature as a runner?
Yeah, it is. I think the main thing, so there's two things I want to address there. One is, as we get older, generally we tend to do kind of longer distances, but I really do think it's important to keep speed in your training, not trying to hit the same times And that'll be the second part, but having some kind of speed. So there's a thing called the acute to chronic workload ratio. And what that research says, if I just make it really simple, is it's not the amount that you do, it's sudden spikes in the amount that you do. So if you haven't done as much sprinting and then go and do a sprinting session, that's what really catches you out. Or if you've been doing longer races, say if you're in your 30s or 40s, you're like, I'll do a marathon, and then you just try naturally transition back to a 5k, not having any of that work done is what can catch you out much more than constantly having that. So keeping strides in your routine is like essential, because again, as you said, as we get in our 30s or 40s or 50s, that natural speed or power is what we lose. We gain strength, we gain aerobic fitness, but we can lose that power and speed. So it's just, if you use it, you don't lose it. The second thing in relation to speed, and it doesn't have to be speed as in like 100 meters, 200 meter sprints. It can be, my friend, he's like 40, he's just going on 45, and he's a lot of the master records here in Ireland, Brian Maher. And he says a great line. He's like, you can train in your 40s like you trained in your 20s. And that breaks a lot of athletes. They're trying to hit the same sessions. So if you're still at a level, you're like, you know what, this was a key session or key workout that I used to do when I was younger, I'm just going to try to hit it. And that's when you get breakdown or problems. Again, you have different strengths. You probably can do more aerobic work now than you could before. You're probably like physically a little bit stronger than you were in your 20s. So you just have to naturally adapt that. And people chasing the same sessions or the same volume of training in a week and expecting the same results is what I find leads to a lot of problems.
You mentioned like aerobic capacity there, and I kind of think that before we get into this sort of like chat where it might sound like we're going to talk about everything on a decline as we get older, I mean obviously like the muscles and how they behave will change as you age, but your aerobic capacity is sort of the thing that you can hold on to it, right, as you age. It's sort of not necessarily something,
definitely, yeah, and get better.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got friends obviously who are setting PBs in their 40s now for the mile, and it's not all doom and gloom. We're just talking about adjusting things accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, it's not, you're just saying, you know, raising the white flag, and especially for people who didn't run a lot in their 20s. But it's like taking a 20-year-old or 25-year-old's program and applying that in your 30s or in your 40s is not going to work. You have different strengths. Like a good example for me is I was running 800 meters when I was 16, and I was a real speed-based athlete. So a type of session might be like 4x200 meters in like, honestly, 23, 24 seconds. But I never had that much endurance. I went back to that sport coming more from an aerobic side. And what I found was the first lap, I found it really hard to get up to the speed, but I now was like a diesel engine. So the second lap, I was catching a lot more people. Now I've gone for larger distances, but the times are relatively the same. Now, if I tried hit that, say 148 for me, if I try hit that doing the same type of training as I did before and getting frustrated because I'm not as quick, I would either broke down or not run as well. But accepting, it's like, okay, I'm a different type of athlete now. Your body's more physically stronger. You're much more aerobically fit, and you've got to kind of utilize those. And then look, ultimately, when you're fit, all you're thinking about is times, PBs, doing well. If you get an injury for long enough, all you're thinking about is, I just want to get back running and being healthy. So you do have to accept that that's a trade-off in your 30s. Like, it's just great to be fit, healthy, and when you get consistency, that's when you get the best results. So, you know, we have to accept where we are.
I think it's really interesting that you say about how training could change with speed, because it made me start thinking, or maybe there should be like masters marathon training programs. And I think we've got our own marathon programs, but we don't tend to adapt them to age. We adapt them to
a time,
you know, four-hour marathon by time. Mm. But actually, I wonder, is that something that you would prescribe to people? So actually, that there should be this kind of master's style training. That's
look, there's some things that people do, like elite marathon runners do that you wouldn't recommend. Like, they do these double days that could literally have like 30 miles in them, you know?
Yeah.
So like, obviously you wouldn't recommend that, but I think what you're doing by time is the most appropriate. What I feel now, I don't do much training. Obviously, we do Pilates and all, but we don't really do running coaching per se. So leave that to you, gentlemen. But it is really important for people to have a coach to get that structure. I really feel it's a good benefit. And a lot of athletes don't give themselves the permission to look after their bodies, to do the right type of training. One thing I do find, though, for marathon training is that there's an over-reliance on the, say, longer run. So again, if you're not used to doing 18, 19, 20 miles, just doing that repetitively and then very short stuff in the week, it's not that varied a training, and that will lead to injury. What I would recommend people, if they're doing a marathon program, is, say, if they're doing one long run, do it into a 2 week block. So if you're doing a, say, if you do 16 miles 1 week, the next week, do like a kind of session in your marathon long run. Okay. So what you would do maybe is like warm up for 60 minutes, 5 minutes on at marathon pace, 5 minutes, like a minute slower than that, by like for 25 minutes, cool down. So you might hit, say, 14 miles, but you've got used to running tired, used to running at that pace. And then the following week, go on to like, say, 17 miles. So it's not just like, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 at this like slow, repetitive pace. You're kind of changing up the stimulus a little bit more. And my friend does that. He's a coach as well, and he finds great results with that. Just adding a kind of some type of session in the long run every second week.
Yeah, we had Tom Craggs on recently talking about 80-20 and the sort of the load and building quality. And, you know, if you're limited to the miles you can do in a week, building some of that 20% quality into those sort of longer runs, so that you're not just, as you say, ticking a box of being like, all right, well, I must add miles at some point. I can actually make this, just this one run could be 80-20, so that 80% of it is that slower and then 20% is that quality.
Yeah, exactly. Because people, especially without coaches, if they're looking at some of the training session, like the training programs out there, are so garbage, it's unbelievable. Like they yeah. are, like they're taking the one part of like, oh well, you need to have prepared your long run. It's like, sorry, you can't just take that and then forget that you should also have a good base. Like, you know, Jack Daniels would have said, you know, 25-30% max of your running should be a long run. But you have people doing like 5 miles, 5 miles, you know, maybe an 8 miles, and then banging out an 18 miler on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, because I need to get my long run. It's like, sorry, you need to get some more conditioning. And we talked about that acute to chronic workload. Like, that's a massive example of it. It's like, you're doing this real sudden spike in training load that your body's not conditioned for, you know? Like, so having, as you said, that 80-20, having that bit of quality in there as good. And then some people have to ask themselves, it's like that Ryan Holiday book, like, ego is the enemy. It's like, maybe a marathon isn't right for you this year. Maybe get a faster half marathon time. Maybe work on your 10 mile or your 10K time. Do you know, it's something that really annoys me, this thing of like, oh, we just always have to go longer. How about get quicker at the shorter distances? Do 5Ks, do 10Ks, get good at it, and then earn your marathon.
Talk about Pilates there, because I know that's an area that you train in. I was thinking about strength and conditioning for the older runner as well.
Yeah.
What do you think that should look like, and what are the benefits do you think that Pilates might have over, I guess, something like lifting weights? Or do you feel like it's all part, it's complementary in that sense?
It's all part of it. Like, look, time is a thing, so it's what you can do. There is a performance pyramid, like, or a hierarchy in these things. So if you're looking, obviously I'm going to be biased, I'm like a butcher, you know, if you're a butcher, he's not going to say be vegetarian, so obviously right. We do Pilates. So I'm going to say like Pilates or strength work is important, but like, I was having hip problems in my late 20s doing the same sessions, so this is what worked for me, and I just kind of moved on from there. But the way you want to develop is, you need to develop like a movement base first. You need to have good like mobility, stability, and motor control, which is like good technique essentially. So that's where sports Pilates would come in. Our sports Pilates, much more than just normal Pilates, focuses on getting back into like running positions. So we start on the ground, but a lot of Pilates can stay on the ground and just stay trying to like tone muscles, like say clams or bridges on the ground, but it's not going to transfer over to running. So we go, we try that transfer, getting back on your feet, using those muscles you've activated into running positions. So that kind of helps make the body stronger. But once, now I kind of stay there, but once you've got that, if you're doing a full strength and conditioning kind of overview, the next thing you'd work on is work capacity. And work capacity is a body's ability to tolerate load. So what that means practically is you should then be doing, if you're in the gym and you don't have experience, if you've done some good movement prep, like your sports Pilates, maybe you've done a course of that, then do weights that are like, you know, 15 reps, because that will just allow your body to get strong and get used to that type of movement. You know, like that you're able to squat with a certain amount of weight for like 15 reps, hinge or do like kettlebell swings or press ups. So it's like just getting your muscles and your joints robust enough to tolerate heavy load. And then you can work on maximum strength, which is generally like 3 or 5 sets of 5 reps, then move into power. We could talk about, like, as well, I think power is one that you want to be very careful with, like plyometrics and power. But what I do, I can go on rants here. So if you just want to cut me off,
that's great. Rants are great.
Like skipping is a really good way to add in some plyometric power. And there was a great study in 2020 that showed that, like, skipping improved like strength reactive strength index, that's like basically plyometric power, by 13%, improved counter movement jump by 10%, squat jumps by 5%. So, and you're not having to jump off boxes and do very explosive movements, which as you get older can be, like, you know, very dangerous for what your body's able for. What I love about skipping, and literally just get a skipping rope or a jump rope for our American audience. I was on a podcast talking about skipping and she's like, what the hell are you talking about? So jump rope.
Jump rope. Like, yeah, okay.
She's so polite as well. I was like, you know, literally 2 feet for 20, 1 foot for 10, 1 foot for 10, and then alternate feet for 20. Do that 3 times if you're doing it twice a week. What's great about skipping is it's a self-limiting exercise. It basically, if you can't skip correctly, you can't skip. You just keep hitting the rope. So set a timer. Don't do more than 3 minutes. And then over time, as you get your coordination, your muscles have also got stronger to be able to address that. So yeah, there'd be 2 things. You could do skipping for power. I would definitely do like a Pilates at least once per week. You see, running is great for burning calories, but you don't use your muscles. Like, and there's a lack of variation. So that's why you never hear of a runner get like a hamstring tear, a quad tear. It's not like football or some field sports. It's all like plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis. It's all the tendons and the joints, because that's the area that gets overloaded. So especially as you get older, it's so important that you're doing something that basically wakes up the muscular system. That can be strength training, that can be Pilates. It doesn't matter, but better to start with just controlling the movement and then move up. But what that does is, by waking up the muscles, once they're awake, they're naturally going to take over a little bit. You know, it's like, if I'm asleep and you're out in the club and someone is like starting a fight with you, I'm not going to be helping. I'm asleep. Like, there's nothing I can do. You tell me the next day, you're not going to be like, oh, where were you? It's like, I was asleep. So that's the same. If you're on your long run, if those muscles are asleep, they're not taking any of the load. So you get injured later on. You're like, oh, you didn't help me out. It's like, I was asleep.
Whereas
if you're beside them, depends on your friends, some of them won't see it, but at least they'll try push away. So if the muscles are woken up through, say, a structured Pilates once a week or a gym, they'll naturally kick in to take some of the load, which will take a lot of pressure off those passive parts of the body.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love the analogy. It's one of my favorite analogies in podcast history. Waking up the muscles like they're a mate who can help you out in a battle. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
If it's an Irish guy, you're going to get like an alcohol or a fighting analogy, probably.
I reckon it just depends on how big the other guy is. I think those.
Oh, yeah, I go legging.
The skipping thing's good, though, Owen, because I think, like, that's so easy as well, isn't it? Like, just having a skipping rope, skipping for 3 minutes, like, kind of anyone. Anyone can do that, and it's, you know, you could do it before a run, and it's like
100%
and it's doing something really useful.
Yeah. Like, what I do is I leave it in my car, so I usually go for the run and then come home 5 minutes early. So, because that study, it wasn't like they did it extra, it's like one group did 5 minutes of skipping, one group just did extra running. And the group that did the extra skipping, their 3K times improved by 3%. The group that just did extra running, they only improved by 1.5%. And there was no improvement in any of the running economy, things like the plyometrics. So have it in your car and just come back, like just outside your house. Because I know if I come inside, it's game over. I'm not going back out. But if you have it in the car, close to your house, just take it out, skip, and then come back in. And come back from your run early to do it.
Yeah, so it's all the same time. You're not adding more to your time that you've got. You're just changing up that last 5 minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
So we got one. No excuses out there.
Skip it.
Cost about €15 or £15, so you can get one.
Yeah. This whole thing's been about how strength and conditioning and how important it is, and the Pilates and the muscles and the tendons and all that sort of stuff. But does that sort of attention to the strength and conditioning change as you get older? I mean, we're talking, because I guess things like certainly 60s and 70s and beyond, you're talking bone density and things like that. And, you know, is it something that people need to build into a certain level and then adjust, much like the running, or is it just that it's just a consistent thing that needs to be there?
No, it's again, because we're not going to look at power. Like I said, if we're getting our skipping, I feel like we'd have a little bit of that plyometric power. The earlier start, you're kind of building more of that bone and that strength. And like our aerobic, your body will keep getting naturally stronger anyway. So once you're having that level of strength training in there, it's something that you can maintain for life. Also with this is like, look, like I'm the same. I do my Pilates, say, once per week, maybe twice per week. I'm not expecting that. This is like a threshold kind of value. So it's about waking it up. But once it's woken up, if you enjoy running more, you can keep that. It's just you need that, especially as you get older, you need that variation in your life. And a lot of us, I had someone say this is a really interesting point. It's like, as we get older, we are sitting more, say, in our desks, or you could be driving to work a lot more. So your routine is much more routined, to put in a weird way, when you get older. So it's just so much more important to have. You need to structure in that variation much more than probably when you were younger.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you think for that reason, like an older runner has to be a little bit careful about running with younger runners? I'm just thinking about people who maybe club run, or maybe even like dads running with their kids, and maybe, you know, trying to copy or keep up. Do you think that's a danger for older runners?
Especially if they're doing sessions. Like I've had a guy in, he's just in his 30s. But again, as you said, the transition out of your 30s, it's like I was feeling 19 till I was like 35. Honest to God. Do you know, you'd be running with a guy and, you know, you'd be thinking, God, yeah, we're actually, he's like 12 years younger than me, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's one of the guys. But he is like double hamstring tendinopathy, just at the top of his hamstring and the ischial, ischial tuberosities, because he's doing sprint sessions that you get away with. And when I say sprint sessions, they like hard 400s, hard 600s, kind of flat out, that when you're training with a younger person, you can get away with. Like, as well, those type of time sessions, I feel like as you're getting older, you should be limiting that. Just I feel like you have a lot more on. If you have a job, if you have like family stress, I'm not discounting that from being in college and all, there's times sure. there, but yeah. you're much more determined for your running. Like, we all want to do well, but when you're in your, if you're especially a track athlete, like, it's very specific, where I feel like getting a heart rate or getting a lactic test done with your heart rates, like, they cost about £100. People really overestimate how expensive they are. Having them on your heart rate monitor and then doing things by minutes, like, you know, 4 by 7 minutes at marathon pace, or 5 by 5 minutes at like lactic threshold pace, it allows, especially off your heart rate, allows you to just get out, have a confined time, and run by feel. More than sometimes when you're going with younger guys, they're great because they bring that energy, but if they're really trying to hit times, you're either trying to keep up, or say if you can keep up and your body's not breaking down, it's like you probably have a lot more stress. Like, it's hard then to like get back and bring kids this here, or go and get dinner with your wife, or get ready for a meeting or extra work, you know? So I think there are two things. I think one, physically, but then two, also that kind of mental, emotional stress of like constantly trying to hit hard sessions. You might be just in a different mindset than someone who's younger.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
What do we need to know then differently in terms of recovery as we get older? Then we've talked about the training and how that's got to adapt. Is the recovery, is it you need to bring in longer periods between efforts? Is it just a sort of like consuming more protein? Is it all these different things that, you know, that like as you get older, does it change?
Yeah, well, I think hopefully this gets people thinking, if you're looking at this. One, it's like, you're not, runners are terrible for thinking that they take it easy on themselves when we're in probably one of the hardest sports there is in terms of like pushing yourself. Every time I've talked to a runner, it's always like, oh, I just gave up there. It's like, no, you didn't. Like, I'd love to see your heart rate profile. You're probably flat out for the last 10 minutes and your body eventually just gave up. So it's the same when we get older. It's like, oh, I don't know why I'm achy or not feeling this. It's like, you've got a lot more stress on. You can't burn a candle at both ends and expect it not to go. So one thing I've done, I've gone from like 3 sessions a week to 2 sessions a week. I've seen no difference there. Yeah. Secondly, as well, is we used to do like, say, as in a, and I've ran like 13:58 doing this, you know, sub 30. So it's not like you can't run fast doing this. I honestly believe I wouldn't have ran as quick keeping the way I ran before. So like, instead of doing two, we used to do two runs of like a 30 minutes and like 50 or 60. And now I do one run of maybe like 70. If I'm getting really ready for a race, like 75, because like it's one less time to shower and to get ready, you know.
That might
sound mank, but
less washing, just generally. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think getting your quality, like just maybe doing two good sessions on a Wednesday and a Saturday rather than Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, like adjusting that to give you extra time, bringing back in a rest day on a Friday. These are key things I've done. Not pushing the running sessions so much. Like, still, you're still working, but you should always feel like, you know what, I had a bit more there, and that helps both ways. One, it helps with the recovery afterwards, but two, it helps that you're not, like when I was in my 20s, you're doing sessions, you're like so stressed about the session, do you know, but it's grand because that's what you're doing. Now, if I was working, if I have a lot on and I had that absolute stress about a session, you're going to burn out much more than you think you are. So doing things like 5 by 7 minutes, doing things like 4 by 6 minutes, 20 second hills, 30 second hills, things that you don't have to measure, your body will naturally find, you won't go easier on yourself than you think. You'll probably just find your natural rhythm and you'll probably run a lot better. So there are a couple of things. And then, as you said, cross training, maybe one day you do a cross training, taking one run out, you're going to have a natural bank of aerobic fitness because you've done it for so many years that you'll be better off doing like a Pilates or a gym once a week and replacing a run out of there, or maybe doing a cycle or a swim instead of a run to keep your body healthy as well. Was that practical? I feel like if someone's listening to this on the run, I want a couple of things that they just can take away here from that. So it's like, if you are doing 3 sessions, maybe go, you know what, if I do 2 sessions but still get the same kind of work in. So for example, if you were training for a 5K or 10K, generally we used to train hard enough session at the distance, so like a 5K, 10K session, one session above the distance, so like a half marathon, 10 miler, and one below the distance. And that would be in three sessions in a week. But what you could just do is like combine some of that. So maybe you do your 5, 10K work, and at the end of that, you do, that's one session. And then you do, say, a longer kind of threshold session for your above the distance. And maybe afterwards or before, you just add in a little bit of the, say, 3K work. So you might do, as you said, 4 by 6 minutes of lactic threshold or aerobic threshold. And afterwards, just do 4 by 20 second hills or 6 by 20 second hills. So you're still hitting the same stuff, but you're just doing it on 2 days rather than having, you know, three hard days.
Yeah.
And again, if you're running 6 days a week or 7 days a week, put in a rest day one day, and then maybe one of the other days go, you know what, I'm just going to do a gym session here to counterbalance the tightnesses that I'm getting.
For sure. I think that the practical side of it comes from people listening and probably noticing, or certainly acknowledging perhaps, that they just feel like the quality of their running is diminishing and they're still trying to achieve all the things that they were doing before with the same old sessions.
I think that's it.
I think that's where it comes. This is more just a sort of like hopefully maybe a little tap on the shoulder of being like, is it still working for you?
Because and even like, you know, just that thing of like, you're doing okay, you know, it's like, because sometimes, you know, when I started running more aerobically, which suits you as you get older, I was sure going into my first race in cross country that it's like, oh, I'm going to run terribly here. But I actually qualified for Ireland in the cross country, 33, first time ever, because you can't improve aerobic by running anaerobically. So a lot of times, especially as you're getting older and the power is harder to get, you run at the same time, you're running much more anaerobically than you did before. Whereas like going slower, you're hitting that zone, you're improving that, you're putting less stress in the body, and you're going to see bigger improvements, especially as you go for 5K, 10K and above.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's great. We'll flip it on its head. And I wonder if you ever met someone who's like, I'm 40 now. Like my fast running's behind me. And maybe they buy into this idea that like, you know, you get slower and more sedate with age. People who possibly like, count themselves out too early.
Yeah.
Do you think that can happen? And what would you say to someone who's perhaps doing that?
Oh yeah, that can definitely happen. That can definitely happen. So look, depends on what your goals are. But if you don't stop, you don't lose it. That's one thing I definitely would say. So when people think, you know, because sometimes people look, it's like, oh, well, I'm a lot slower now than I was. But it's like, while we're saying adapt the sessions, like adapt the speed, we're not saying remove it. Because it's like, well, if you look at how you're training now to how you trained in your 20s, it's like, well, if you're down from 6, 7 days a week to 4 days a week, well, that is going to make a difference. Whether you're 20 or whether you're 40. So if you still have aspirations to do well, you still need, and that's where like, you know, programs with yourselves guys or any coach is so important for people, because they can structure it well for you, because it can be hard to work it out. So I think a couple of things, knowing the things that leave you and still hitting those things. So if it is like, I only have 60 minutes for a run, do 55 minutes and then do some strides. The great thing with strides is you shouldn't be forcing them. Okay, so you don't have to, there's no time on this. It's just at the start of you intentionally try to go a little bit faster. That's all you have to do. It's like, I was jogging this, I'll stop. Okay, I'm just going to run 10 seconds a little bit faster. What I feel is faster, even if it isn't faster. Over time, that will loosen out the body. You'll start getting a bit faster. Yeah, you'll have to do, say, your Pilates or a little bit of strength training to avoid a lot of the stiffness that naturally, you know, your body recovers so well in its 20s that you don't have, and even in its 30s. But you'll have to do a little bit of that work, but that's just part and parcel of it. And then again, as you said, definitely go to like two sessions a week, because you need that extra recovery time as you go into your 40s. But there's no reason why you still can't achieve good times or do well in events in your 40s. It's still young. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not, you know, we're living nearly to like 80, 90, 100. Yeah. So it's still very young. Yeah.
I think that the other thing to remember is that everyone is in an age category and an age group is going through the same experience. So you might well have been running with the younger people and not keeping up and all those sorts of things, but actively you're training within a set collective, if you see what I mean. It's kind of, you know, if you're running with masters or seniors or however it is you want to look at it, yeah, of course, if you're trying to go to parkrun and win in inverted
exactly,
and win that and win that every weekend, and you know you've got 19-year-old kids there who are just absolutely smashing you, and you're just like devastated because you're not quite there. That's going to happen.
That's such a good point. Like, that perspective is so important. It's like, yeah, like, where do you come in your age category? Like, I did that the London 10K, and I ran well. I came like 10th, but like I was second over 35 to Mo Farah. Like, that's quite good. Do you know? Yeah. Like, so sometimes you could be like, oh, I came 12th in this race, you know, and it's like, oh, I thought I could be beating these guys. But it's like, you know, you are the age you are as well, like, as you said, and you should be getting, you should take heart from that. And as well, like, I feel like runners, we don't, and I would have definitely done this when I was younger, we don't have that perspective of like, you're probably fitter. If you're out running right now, you're probably fitter than literally 98% of the world's population. Like, that's amazing. Mm. And trying to have that fitness and health, like, if you look at some people your own age who don't run, like, I see some people my age now, and it's like, God, they look old, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Running is doing you great things, you know, even if you're not setting the world alight in terms of time. So,
like, if you're doing a 7 or 8 minute mile or a 9 minute mile, it's like, and you could be doing that for, say, in a session or in a workout, it's like, 90% of people, if you ask them, like, I'm going to shoot you if you can't do it, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that we've covered most stuff, Ben. What do you think?
Yeah, perfect. I feel like if people were doing that, one, don't, you can't just compare yourself to before. So the sessions that worked in your 20s won't work in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. Two, have the variation in there. Again, you might have more of a sedentary lifestyle or things, so you need something else, be it like Pilates, yoga, or strength training, just once a week, something like that. Three, try add that variation in with like either strides at the end of a run or some skipping. You naturally have that aerobic fitness. It's the other things that just go by the wayside, and you'll get a lot better results. And then four, as we said there, adapt the training. Now, you should still be sessioning. So adapt, if you're in your 30s, still trying to do 3 sessions a week, go back to 2 sessions. If you're in your 40s and you're thinking, I'm not as fast as I used to be, if you're only running easy runs every day you go out, that's not good enough. Again, like, kick yourself up the arse and say, look, I can back go arse is a classic Irish, go back doing 2 sessions a week. This podcast, guys, this wasn't like nice to listen to. This is like what we want, change behavior after this.
Yeah, we don't want people to sort of drift off casually while they're running along to some nice conversation. We need to shock some reality into them.
This is like an intervention.
Yeah.
if people want to know more about your running and the Pilates and everything that you do, where can they go?
Best place to go is, I have a free book. It's called Get to the Line in the Best Shape Possible. I do a lot of articles for newspapers and stuff. So if they go to Everard Pilates, so that's EVERARD. pilates.com/book. So Everard Pilates /book. Just funny, when I was in Newcastle, or there is like rabbit, because I spent like literally 5 minutes with a girl and had to actually write down, because you say R in England, and it was like, what are you saying, or? I literally spent 5 minutes trying to explain my name, and I was like, I don't know how to say or any other way.
We'll put a link in the bio. Everyone who's listening who didn't understand any of that, link in the bio. Exactly. There we go. Yeah, perfect.
Guys, thanks so much. I really enjoyed this.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Big thanks to our guest, Owen Everard, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive last minute offer. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please share this episode. Share this episode. This is a great episode. Share this with everyone that you know of, and get them to subscribe too. And it will be great for you to do that. And thanks for listening. And you'll hear from us next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.